Father God, we do thank you and we praise you. We magnify your name. We thank you, Father, for each and every person that's here tonight. And we thank you, Father, that you have a plan and a purpose for their life. And we thank you that they will fulfill that plan and purpose. Father God, we thank you tonight as we go to study your word. We thank you, Father, that your word will not return void, but Father God, that that word will penetrate the hearts and the lives of each and every one of us. And help us to be doers of the word, not just hearers only. And we thank you, Father, that we'll take that word, the word that we have on the inside, and we'll go out to the highways and the byways and share it with the people who are down and out, share love of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for revival to this nation. We thank you, Father, for revival to this generation. We thank you, Father, for signs, wonders, miracles, and healings taking place in our midst. And Father, we thank you tonight. We come not in our own strength, not in our own power, not in our own might, not in our own ability, but your strength, your power, your might, and your ability that you be lifted up. And we thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit that lives big on the inside of us, that leads us and guides us and shows us the way and gives us utterance to speak the uncompromising gospel of Jesus Christ. Father God, we thank you for the anointing that's present tonight, that anointing that changes us, that anointing that sets us free. And we give you all the praise, honor, and glory. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. God's a good God. Amen. Amen. Well, I hope everyone's doing good. Got through some severe weather this week. You know, not sure if you really had some hail here, but I know that they had some major hail damage around Oklahoma. But, you know, Saturday night, whenever we had our graduation there at Raymond Bible Training College, and during the first part of it, it was kind of storming a little bit, and you know, I don't know if the lights were flicking or something, but anyway, you know, we could tell people were kind of a little rattled, and our dean says, "It's just normal Oklahoma weather going on outside, guys. It's no different than any other day." So that's how the way Oklahoma is. Well, some of you might have known that my stepdaughter has been in the hospital for actually the last 2 weeks. She's been facing some issues. In fact, she had like four different procedures, actually. But finally, on the other day that they took out her gallbladder, they also found, they did exploratory surgery and found another situation that was causing pain, and they were able to remove that. So she's doing good, and she's home now. But the message tonight really comes from her being in the hospital, because they were looking at possibly her, she was having some stomach issues, some pain in her abdomen, and so they were looking at maybe it could be the colon, and actually, so they were running some tests, and then she actually went in to look at the colon, and it just so happens, for whatever reason, every time the doctors came in, my wife or myself was not there, and so, which is not really good. She's 19, but 19-year-olds don't do really good telling you what the doctor says. And so I actually told her, I said, grab your cell phone, because she has it right beside her, because like every 19-year-old would. I said, and turn it on, you know, turn on the record button and actually record what the doctor says. Because we're like, well, what'd they say? But anyway, you know, talking like most doctors do, you know, they're looking at all the possible things that it could be. And some of her blood work wasn't like they wanted it to be. So they're talking to her, and they said that they were going to look for colon cancer. Now, I read later on that colon cancer in young adults is actually an all-time high. But when they said the words colon cancer, she said, "I didn't hear another word they said." Because on the inside, she shut down and she began to worry about colon cancer. What if she has cancer? And people that have cancer die and all that kind of stuff. You know, and she, by the time that we were able to get back, we were actually eating dinner. By the time we got back there, I mean, she is just a mess. You know, all upset and everything. And, you know, I had to actually talk to her. I'm going to tell her some of the things I told her. But, you know, it's interesting how fear changes us. And fear, I mean, just because, you know, understand, you say one word, and he didn't say she had cancer. She said, we're going to look for cancer. Everything turned out fine. There was no issues whatsoever. But she went crazy worrying about what might, you know, be there. You know, and I get it. I mean, you know, but the enemy uses fear as one of his primary weapons against us. And we have to understand that, you know, and there's a lot of things going on in this world. And we live in a crazy world. You know, obviously, if you watch the news, every day it gets more crazy. When you didn't think it could get any more crazy, something else happens, all right? But it's all the Russians' fault, obviously. We all know that. Anyway, you know, today we have wars, we have conflicts, we have persecution, violence, crime, natural disaster, terrorism, economic uncertainty, unemployment, divisions, disease, death. We fear for our children's futures, we fear for our families, we fear for our financial future, we fear for our safety, and the list goes on and on and on. In fact, if you want to look for something to worry about, you can find something really quickly. America, actually, the U.S. are giving people anxiety drugs at a record pace. The young people that are taking anti-anxiety medication is astonishing. And it's because we have fear. Now, many of you probably have heard of Cornell University. Anyone heard of Cornell University? Found out it's actually, according to Jesse, an Ivy League school, which I did not know that. But so, it's a major university, because see, sometimes when you read about studies on the internet, you don't know where they came from. You don't know if it's Joe in his backyard with 10 of his friends that came up with some kind of study, or like the Trident one, 4 out of 5 dentists, choose Trident gum. I never figured out whether they asked 5 dentists and those 5 dentists, or did they really, was it really some kind of thing? But Cornell University is Ivy League University. They're a very respected university. And what they have found out that it says, lo and behold, it turns out that 85% of what subjects worried about never happened. Never happened. So 85% of the things that people worry about never comes to pass. So there's a better chance that it's not going to come to pass than it will come to pass. Well, the 15%, that did happen, it says 79% of those subjects discovered that either they could handle the difficulty better than expected, or the difficulty taught them a lesson worth learning. So really, they said that means 97% of the things you worry about should not be worried about. Only 3% of the things you actually worry about, maybe, you could worry about those. I read another article that says 6%. So basically, there is very minute amount of things that you actually should worry about. But, I guess we major on the minors because America is worried about everything. And in fact, sometimes I've actually encouraged some people not to watch the news or not to watch especially like during the election and people or during a time, when the terrorists and things like that, people get freaked out about everything. But that's what the devil uses. He uses fear. He uses fear. Now, interesting, here I got there's a book that was written called The End of Stress by Don Goway. And he actually has, it's called The End of Stress, and he has 4 tips on how to rewire your brain, not to fear. But back to the Cornell University thing, they says that, that stress generates a hormone that causes serious problems. In fact, the stress hormone that worry dumps into your brain have been linked to shrinking brain mass, lowering your IQ, being prone to heart disease, cancer, premature aging, predicting marital problems. So, men, if you're worried about everything, I guess you need to watch your marriage. Family dysfunction and clinical depression, making seniors more likely to develop dementia and Alzheimer, all because of worry. In fact, my grandfather used to talk about how he said back in his day they called him the insane asylum. He said, I've seen so many people that they put in the insane asylum because of worry. Most of the time people have mental breakdowns just because they're worried over something. And I understand, there are things that happen, but, we actually can live longer and live better not worrying. Now, this gentleman says what we need to do is rewire our brain. He says if we could get a handle on the worry that habitually often unconsciously seizes hold of our mind, we would greatly increase the odds of living longer, happier, and more successful life. But don't worry, there's new research found you can rewire your brain. And he talks about his friend Martha agreed to drive this lady to her doctor checkup. And all Martha didn't know this person. All she was told was this lady was 93 years old. And so Martha just said, well, probably, you know, she needs a lot of help or whatever. And so it says that, so Martha didn't know this woman. All she was told that the person was more than 90 and probably quite frail. But the person who opened the door when Martha knocked could hardly be described as old and frail. The person who stood before Martha was a sprightly lady who appeared to be in her 70s at most. And Martha says, do you mind me asking how old you are? Martha asked on the drive to the doctor. 93, the woman answered. Martha was astonished. You look so much younger. She said, what's your secret? Well, honey, she answered, 30 years ago, I made a decision to stop worrying and haven't wasted a moment on worry since. It was that decision that made her younger and healthier than her chronological age. So think about all the things. So if you look at your face and you think about, you know what? If I didn't worry about my kids and all that kind of stuff, I would have less wrinkles. I would have less this or, you know, less stress. But, you know, being a Christian, we really don't have an excuse. Because, you know, we all know over in Timothy, what Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear. Goes on to say, fear and timidity, I'm reading New Living Translation, it says, fear and timidity, but of power, love, and of self-discipline. So if God has not given us a spirit of fear, fear doesn't come from God. So you realize that any time that you're afraid, it doesn't come from God? Well, you know, word association is a really good thing. In fact, if you want to learn somebody's name, they tell you what you need to do is find out, if you can't remember their name, is think of one of your friends that has the same name. So every time you see that person, you think about your friend, and then you'll remember their name. And actually, I did that one time with a guy's name is Anthony, and long conversation with him, and three times I said, now what's your name again? He said, Anthony. Finally, the third time, I remembered Anthony Washington, who's led worship here at Oklahoma City a couple of times. And so then I was able to say his name is Anthony because I look at him and I think of Anthony. So word association. So, you know, when you have fear, you need to think of the devil. All right? Word association. Fear equals the devil. The devil equals bad. Okay? So fear is bad. God is good, fear is bad. And you know, because so many times we start to worry and have fear, but the Bible clearly says that God has not given us a spirit of fear. So if God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, then who gave us the fear? The devil did. Now, the Bible also says resist the devil, he'll flee from you. So we need to come against any kind of fear. Fear and worry are not from God. It's not God's plan. So you don't have to really rewire your brain. You just have to renew your mind. See, we never see that when Jesus walked the face of the earth that he was worried about anything. He wasn't even worried whenever there were 5,000 people there and they didn't have any food. And no convenience stores, no restaurants, no nothing. I mean, it's not, they had 5 loaves and 2 fish and they fed 5,000, it said 5,000 men plus women and children. So, you know, Jesus was never worried. You know, if we're supposed to live like Jesus, then we shouldn't be worried as well. Now, really, the way I overcame most of my worry was, they're all, sometimes we do have a bad day. You know, I don't care if you've been overcame that, sometimes the devil comes and whatever reason for a couple hours or whatever, we forget that we shouldn't worry. We shouldn't stress out. But back when I was 13, and many of you may or may not know, I was diagnosed with a brain tumor. I had a brain tumor, the base of my skull right here. In fact, I got a big scar. And the brain tumor, they said, was the size of a man's fist, so about this big back here. Now, the brain tumor also was very close to my brain stem. In fact, they said if I turned my head too quickly or whatever, and the brain tumor hit my brain stem, that I would die. So pretty serious stuff. And but it was at a place that they could operate, and we actually, you know, we took 2 days to pray. We needed an instant miracle, or they needed to operate, because I said, if we don't operate now, we don't think that we'll be able to operate, because it's so close to your brainstem. And so I don't know why. Maybe the doctor talked to my parents on the outside, but for whatever reason, the day before the surgery, the doctor came to talk to me, and my parents were not in the room. It was just me and the doctor. And probably, I mean, knowing my parents, they probably had talked to the doctor and says, well, you need to go and talk to him and let him know, you know, what's going on, because it's his life. And, you know, I was fairly mature for being 13. But so the doctor comes in and says, Craig, I just want to let you know, we're having surgery tomorrow, like you know. And, you know, there's good odds that everything will be okay. But I do want to let you know, if something goes wrong, if something does go wrong, you probably won't be here tomorrow. I mean, you know, he didn't say it exactly like that, but basically, you know, said, I mean, I'm just trying to be, you know, be honest with you. And so then I asked him for a percentage. You know, I'm like, well, I mean, give me a percentage. You know, he said, well, you know, 80% of these surgeries come out fine. 20% probably, and that he might have been high. He was just guessing on the percentage, you know. So immediately after he left, I started thinking, man, I've been here, and they've said that there's a 20% chance of rain, and it rained. Anyone else been there like that? Or basically, that's how you know it's going to snow, because if there's only a small chance of snow, that's usually when it snows. When they say that we're going to have a blizzard, then we get like, you know, like a dusting, yeah, of snow. But whenever they didn't predict it, that's usually whenever we get a foot. So, because it's just the way Oklahoma works sometimes. And so that's pretty hard on a 13-year-old to tell them that, you know, they might not be there. You know, because, you know, immediately I started thinking about, well, I've never been married, didn't really ever had a, you know, serious girlfriend, you know, never had kids, never graduated from high school. I mean, all these things that you never done at 13. You know, some of you maybe you're a little more wilder, maybe you did some things at 13, but 13 I pretty much hadn't done much. You know, but you know, so immediately fear hit me. But I thank God for my upbringing, because immediately when fear started to hit me, immediately on the inside arose scriptures that God has not given me a spirit of fear. And I started, you know, I mean, the scriptures started coming up that I've been learning. And then, you know, I begin to think about, well, you know, my faith is not in my doctor, it's in my God. You know, my faith is my God to guide the doctor's hands. And the moral, the rest of the story is that during my surgery, the two of the nurses, it was at a Christian hospital there, two of the nurses got healed during my surgery. And they've been believing God for their healing. And also, the doctors were not able to get all the brain tumor because it was too close to the brain stem, and it was too risky for them to get that close. And so they didn't know what was going to happen. So that could get bigger, it could, you know, or whatever. But 2 weeks later, whenever I had another brain scan, it was gone. So praise God, you know, God worked, and it was, you know, everything turned out okay. But I mean, you know, there was a short time there where I kind of got, you know, it really scared me, you know, like it might, because the word die, you know, really, really rang home. I mean, you know, now I didn't really feel I was going to die, but I knew there was a chance. But, you know, I had to decide at a young age that I'm going to have to put my trust in God. Amen. I'm not going to put my trust in anybody else, because my faith is in my God. And so, you know, my grandfather always said the number one reason why people do not get their needs met is because they don't know the word. We have to know the word. And so what I want to do tonight is I want to read some scriptures that most of you probably can quote, but some scriptures about fear and anxiety and what the word of God says. And I want you not just to listen to these right now, but I want you to remember these next time you have an opportunity to be afraid. You know, many times, I mean, we're entering the tornado season. So there's been many times, I mean, I know my mother-in-law and my father-in-law, they were in their bathtub last week and they're not taking a bath. They live in Wagner, and a tornado touched down about a half mile from their home. You know, so there's a lot of opportunities, you know, for people to be afraid during this season about the weather and things like that. But I'm going to go through a number of scriptures, and I'm going to read them from the New Living Translation because it kind of just brings them, you know, more to light. And I might go a little fast because, you know, just time for time's sake. But my first scripture I want to mention is Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. Isaiah 41, 10. It says this, "Don't be afraid, for I am with you. I mean, that's pretty plain. Don't be afraid, for I'm with you. You know, don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. See, God always provides the victory for us. You know, so we don't have to be afraid because God is always with us. You know, and I know at Children's Church we used to sing a song that he's got the whole world in his hands. Anyone sing that song when they were a kid? Maybe some of you still sing it. All right. Now, you know, the thing about it is when we're children, because we sing the song, that we were pretty confident that God has the whole world in his hands. But sometimes it seems as we get older, we think that God let go of the whole world. But the whole world's still in his hands. You know, we sing, you and me, brother, in his hands, you and me, sister. And I mean, you know, God is still watching out for you. He's still with you. He's still helping you. He's still, you know, so don't be discouraged. Don't be dismayed, for I am your God. He says, I will strengthen you. You know, sometimes whenever we're going through fear, we just need strength. We need strength, you know, not to be afraid. But, you know, it's amazing how whenever, you know, we hear certain words, we forget about God. We start thinking about what's going around about us. And that was what the disciples did with Jesus. Whenever Jesus said, let's go to the other side, all of a sudden waves and wind started happening and water started getting in the boat and they forgot about Jesus. Now, you know, I think all the time, like, how could you be so stupid? Jesus Christ is actually in your boat. I mean, we're talking about literally Jesus Christ that you can actually turn around and look at. You know, obviously we don't see Jesus. We just know he's with us. But they could actually physically see him. And, I mean, you know, I'm thinking, how in the world can you be concerned? In fact, if I was them, I'm going to go lay down with Jesus because, you know, we're not going down. Jesus is not going down, folks. So if God's not going down, Jesus is not going down, neither are you. Because what? Your trust is in God. Your God is for you. If God be for you, then who cares who's against you? It doesn't matter what anybody says. Whose report are you going to believe? Well, you said, but I have this report. It doesn't matter what the report says. And in fact, I told my stepdaughter, I said, you know what? Even if the report comes back and they say you have cancer, I don't want you to be afraid. You know, because Luke 18:27 says the things that are impossible to men are possible with God. All things are possible to them that believe. So you know what? Don't get worried about it. But they said I have this or it doesn't matter what people say. You know, because, you know, God says you don't. Whose report are you going to believe? The next scripture I want to look at is over in Psalms chapter 56. Psalms 56, verse number 3 says this. This is a short verse. It says, but when I am afraid, I put my trust in you, or I put my trust in God. So, you know, that's something we have to put to practice. When we get afraid, instead of thinking about our fears, start putting our trust in God. You know what, God? You got this. You can handle this. You know? And so, pretty simple scripture. Then over in the New Testament, going to, we all know this, I've preached on this quite a bit, over in Philippians chapter 4, verse number 4. And verse number 4 actually doesn't talk about fear, but I like reading verse 4 because it says, always be full of joy in the Lord, and I say it again, rejoice. All right, here's the thing. If you always stay full of joy, it's really hard to be afraid. Amen. All right, you know, I've never been joyful and afraid at the same time. You're either joyful or afraid. So see, that's actually one of the big keys is always stay joyful or rejoice. Rejoice meaning rejoy, okay? Rejoy, get your joy back. All right, understand that, you know, it says, let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. And then he says this, don't worry about anything. So what are you supposed to do? Don't worry about it. But it says, instead, pray about everything. So, you know, it's interesting. A lot of times, the last thing we do is pray. I know people that have some financial needs, and it seems they wait till, like, the bill's almost due. That says, you know what? Let me ask God about that. You know, a lot of times you actually knew you had the financial need months in advance. But, you know, you can start believing God months in advance. It's just like I tell the students going to college. I said, you know what? You knew what tuition was the day you enrolled. And, you know, you realize that it's not just about going 1 year, it's about graduating. So you know what? Instead of believing God that you'll have enough money this month to make your tuition payment, why didn't you start believing God for the whole amount in the beginning? Amen. See, a lot of times we think, well, I'm going to put it in bite-sized pieces so God can do that for me. God doesn't need your bite-sized pieces. All right? Just because you're on a payment plan doesn't mean you can't believe God for the whole amount to pay off your car. Or your house, or whatever it might be. But see, a lot of times, our mind is not thinking about what we need. It's thinking about what we need monthly to pay all our bills. You know, I know some people that have their credit cards a little higher than they need to, and they'd like to pay the whole amount off, but they're just believing God for enough money to pay off every month. Well, that's good, but there's a thing called interest you're paying as well. You know, be specific. What do you really need? I mean, if you have $10,000 in credit card bills, you don't need, you know, $100 or $200 a month or whatever to try to pay it down. You need the $10,000. Yeah, but Craig, if I just believe God, because I don't know if I, it's not about you knowing, it's about you trusting. Amen. You just have to put your trust in God. Anyway, because people get in anxiety when they have bills and they have things going on. You know, I know a lot of people that stress out when they don't have the money for the rent. You know, it's pretty stressful. You know, it's interesting. People can deal with not having enough money for food. They'll figure it out. But when it has not having enough money for rent, you know, because, you know, after a while, people actually want to live in a house or an apartment or something. You know, and so, you know, because it's nice to be able to take a shower and maybe watch TV and stuff. All right. Anyway, but it says instead pray about everything, and then it says tell God what you need. Tell him what you need. I mean, be honest with God. What do you need? What do you need? Say, you know, Lord, this is what I need. You know, we need things sometimes. You realize that? Sometimes, you know. All right. Tell him what we need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything you can understand. His peace will guard your heart and mind as you live in Christ Jesus. You know, after we basically tell God what we need, then we should be in peace because God will provide. You see, here's what happens. People tell God what they need and they keep stressing out about it. So I guess they're stressing out because they don't really believe God's going to really do that for them. Because if you believe God's going to do that for you, you don't stress out. Or some people said, you know what, you know, I believe that, but I got to help God. He doesn't need your help. God doesn't, he's got it. He doesn't need your help. Well, yeah, but I have some good ideas. Well, if you had good ideas, you probably wouldn't be in this situation anyway. You know, the thing about it is, you know, what happens is, you know, I've heard people even come tell me, say, Craig, I don't even know why I'm worried about this. I said, that's the peace that passes all understanding. See, you don't understand why you have peace. Because everybody else in your same situation wouldn't have peace. But you do because you understand that your God is in control. You understand that you've asked God for what you need. You know, ask what you, it says, you know, ask what you will and it shall be done. You know, or Jesus said, ask anything in my name and I will do it. It's just that simple. And, but, you know, but after we ask, it says, you know, interesting part about the first part of the scripture in verse number 6 says, don't worry about anything. So it means that, you know what, don't even start worrying about it. Because many people, what happens is they worry about it, then they have to ask. And hopefully they get peace. But you know what, we shouldn't even get to that point. At some point in time, you know what can happen is, you know, we basically can live our life and an opportunity to fear comes. And our brain says, this is an opportunity to fear. And as soon as our brain says that, on the inside, scriptures start coming up and say, no, don't fear, for I'm with you. Don't stress, ask me. It's just that simple. We'll go on to reading some more scriptures from both the Old and New Testament. John chapter 14. John chapter 14 and Jesus, verse number 27. Jesus was talking about that when he was going to leave this earth, you know, talking about, you know in a few days, he'll no longer be there in person to his disciples. And he says this, I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give you is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. So Jesus was telling us, you know, whenever I leave, peace should come in. Don't worry about it, but because the comforter is coming in. So be peaceful. You know, because, you know, and it's interesting because a lot of Christians aren't very peaceful. In fact, you know, judging by social media, the Christians seem as much stressed out as other people who are non-Christians. And, you know, that's pretty sad because the difference should be is our trust should be in Christ. Our trust should be in God. I mean, we have scriptures. They don't. You know, but for whatever reason, we're just as stressed out as they are. And what's even more astonishing is knowing the statistics say, because a lot of people are big on statistics, you know, statistics say that what you're worried about will never happen anyway. All right, you know, there's only a 3% chance that you want that you couldn't figure it out yourself. I mean, that's very slim. And in fact, you know, if it's ever a 3% chance of rain, most people don't even worry about raining. But yeah, there's a chance of rain, but it's only 3%. I mean, that's, you know, deal. If you woke up every day and saw the forecast, 3% chance of rain, you're like, it's probably not going to rain. You know, but if you wake up every day and it's a 3% chance of worry, you're like, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? You know, because see, we hear a negative word, we hear negative thoughts, and all of a sudden we just freak out. But, you know, basically God's saying is don't freak out, trust in me. Don't freak out. Don't worry about it. You know, so many people are worried about so many things. Anyway, Psalms chapter 23, and most of you know the whole 23rd Psalm, but Psalms 23, verse number 4 says this. It says, even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid. For you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect me, protect and comfort me. So you know what? Even if we're at the darkest place we've ever been, God is with you. You understand God's with you? I mean, even when everything seems to be going bad, God's still with you. When you feel that there's no way you're going to make it to the other side, God's still with you. When you feel that everything's coming in, caving in, you know, on you and you can barely breathe, God's still with you. See, we have to understand it's not about the things that are caving in. It's about the God that's still with us. Because a lot of times, you know, they say you can't see the forest for the trees. I mean, a lot of times we get so concerned because everything we see around us looks tough. It looks bleak. But you know what? I don't care. I don't care if you've been diagnosed with something bad. I'm telling you, you have something good with you. You have the one that created the universe with you. You have the one standing with you, helping you, leading you, guiding you, showing you the way. And quit looking at what's in front of you and look at the God on the inside of you that's with you, helping you. God's always with you. He's always for you. He's never against you. There's nothing you can do to separate yourself from the love of God. He loves you no matter what. And, you know, because some people think, well, you know what? I haven't been the best Christian in the world. I haven't been tithing. I haven't been this. It's not what you haven't been. It's what he is. He loves you no matter what. He cares about you, no matter what. He cares about you even whenever you've been an idiot. He still cares about you. You know, because I mean, what happens is the devil will try to talk you out of your own blessings. The things that belong to you, the things that have been promised to you, the devil will try to talk you and said, well, you don't deserve that. But praise God, in the Christianhood, it's not what we deserve. It's what we were given. We were given what we didn't deserve, but it doesn't matter what we deserve or not. What matters is, you know, his love, his mercy, his forgiveness. He cares about us no matter what. There's nothing that we can do to make him not care about us, to make him not love us. You know, and many of you understand that in a measure, you know, with your own earthly kids. You're thinking, you know, there's nothing they can do. I don't care how mad they get at me. There's nothing they can do to keep me not from loving them. I raise them, I love them, I care about them. I mean, there's nothing my kids can do ever say that would keep me not from, you know, from loving them. Now, there's things that they could do to keep me not from hanging out with them. You know, and there's some situations where maybe your kids don't hang out with you because they're mad or for whatever. And, you know, sometimes too, whenever they become young adults, they start to know everything and they figure out how stupid you are. But when they get older, they figure out you were actually smarter than you really were. You know, that's just kind of the way kids act sometimes. You know, and praise God, God's a good God. Amen. Joshua chapter 1, verse number 9. Most of you know this. It says, Joshua 1:9, New Living Translation says this. This is my command, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Doesn't matter where you go. Doesn't matter how tough it looks. Doesn't matter where you're walking. Doesn't matter if it seems to be your darkest hour. The Lord your God is always with you. He's always there. You know, he's with you in the bedroom. He's with you in the bathroom. He's with you in the car. He's with you, you know, when you're getting chewed up by your boss. God is still with you. He's with you whenever you're told that you've been fired. He's with you whenever you've been told that you have a deadly disease. He's with you whenever you just had a big accident. He's with you in the middle of a tornado. He's with you in the middle of a flood. He's with you in the middle of a fire. He's with you anytime, no matter what's going on, whether it's good or what's bad. You know, sometimes people think, well, God's only with us when things are good. No, it's with you when things are bad. We only remember him when things are good. You know, something happens, and we win $500, we're like, well, praise God. But then whenever we have a $500 bill that we don't have any money in the bank, then we're like, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? Praise God. Well, but how can I praise God? Because we praise him anyhow. Amen. Doesn't matter what things look like. Doesn't matter. We just have to praise God. No matter what. And what we do in James says, count it all joy when those things happen. Anyway, back to the New Testament. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. And most of these scriptures we all know. This says, give all your worries and care to God, for he cares about you. Now, oftentimes, I've been in a number of services, and probably you have too. I know a number of you have been in church for a long time. But we've all been in those services where we're supposed to come down the altar and leave our worries and cares. Anyone been in one of those services? I've been to multiple ones. It's always the same people have all the worries and cares. You know, the funny part about it is, I've been in services where they tell you to write them down, bring them forward, and they're going to burn them. Interesting part about it is some of those same people still have that same worry and care. It got burned at the altar, but the next day they were still concerned about it. Never figured that one out. I guess the burn wasn't good enough or whatever. The problem is that whenever, we actions speak louder than words. A lot of times we actually say the words, but we don't act like we gave it to God. We say, you know what, we're bringing all our cares to the Lord. Here they are. And the next day, we're still caring about our cares. All right? If you're caring about your cares, then why do you need God to care about your cares? Because you're already doing it. But the problem is you can't do it because if, you know, here's the thing. You know, I'm saying this, you know, trying to say this really kind of funny, but God doesn't really care about your cares, but he does care. What I'm saying is he's not concerned about your cares because they're a piece of cake. You understand? I mean, this is the God that saw a bunch of dirt and said, well, that was dirt, but now it's a man. And, you know, and what's so amazing is, you know, especially like I said, we've been in the hospital the last 2 days and we've been looking at, you know, anatomy, you know, because they're looking at different organs, different things, you know, things could be. And to think about all the cells, all the bones, all the things that, I mean, you think about that when it all came from dirt. I mean, everything that you have, a living, breathing human being came from dirt. Well, technically, I guess if you're a woman, it came from a rib, you know. But it's just amazing. You know, but that's the person who you put your trust in. That's the person who you give your worries to. The person who actually can do something about it. Amen. So God's not worried about it. But, you know, he's trying to say, you shouldn't worry about it. Just give them to me. You know, I want your worries. I want your cares. You know, but if I'm caring about your worries and cares, you should be living what we call carefree because you're not caring. You understand? But here's what happens is we bring our worries and cares to God, whether you had some kind of caring, you know, worry service or whatever, Or you just told God, here, God, here's all my worries, here's all my cares. I mean, you can just flat out, you know, say, God, just take care of them. But once we tell God to take care of them, quit worrying about them. Because if you're worried about them, basically what your own brain is saying, I don't think my God's big enough to take care of my cares. So I have to help him. Once again, quit trying to help God. He doesn't need your help. He can take care of your cares all by himself. All right? He doesn't need any help from you. So quit worrying about stuff. If God's taking care of it, then you should be not worried about it. You know, you say, but there is no buts. Just trust God. Amen. You know, trust God. You know, there was a situation where I was talking to a young man, and he just became pastor of his church. He was associate pastor, and his pastor retired, and he became pastor, and they were having some financial difficulties, you know, and I talked to him, and this wasn't a word from God. And I said, you know, I looked at him, I said, quit worrying about it. Everything will be okay. Well, you know, he hung on the words that I said just because I said them. He quit worrying because I told him everything's going to be okay. Now, it wasn't a thus saith the Lord. It wasn't in the middle of a service. It was, I'm just telling him what the Bible says. Quit worrying, everything's going to be okay. Then a couple months later, he called me back. He said, you know, no longer, I mean, there was a certain situation, that actually an investment that the pastor many years ago had made, and his stockbroker said, I don't know if you know this, but, you know, that stock is worth a lot of money. Ever thought about maybe, like, selling it? So I think that he knew a little bit about the church's situation. It turned out that they had enough money to completely pay the church off. They were having trouble making payments. They were able to pay the church off, and they were having enough money in the bank that, you know, this guy was full-time with the church. He had to take a secular job, but he you know, and the church could pay him and the secretary. It said, you know, I mean, they had like $100,000 in the bank or something like that. I mean, we're talking 6 months later. And he says, you know, Craig, I just thank you for telling me it's all going to be okay. I'm like, it wasn't a word from God. I didn't tell him. I'm thinking, wow. he hung on the words that I said. And I was just, you know, tell him it's all going to be okay. Just because that's what the Bible says. So maybe you need to tell yourself it's going to be okay. You know, you don't need some word for some minister because the Bible says it's going to be okay. God's saying, you know what? Just trust in me. Amen. And that you'll see how okay it will be. All right, a few more scriptures. Deuteronomy 31, verse 6 says, so be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. I like this. It says, and do not panic before them. For the Lord your God will personally, I like it that he will personally go ahead of you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you. See, I personally have my God working on this situation. He's personally going ahead and helping me and leading me and guiding me. And he's not going to abandon me. He's not going to fail me. Praise God. We need to understand that our God is always for us. Amen. In Deuteronomy still, chapter 3, verse 22 says this, do not be afraid of the nations there, for the Lord your God will fight for you. You know what? The Lord our God is fighting our battles for us. We just have to trust in him. Amen. Mark chapter 5, verse 36. This is Jesus talking to whenever they told Jairus his daughter was dead. Jesus overheard them, and he said to Jairus, don't be afraid, just have faith. And you know what? This is a scripture I use all the time. You know, every time that I hear something that is an opportunity to be afraid, because the reason I use those words is my grandfather said one time that whenever different situations would happen, he told my grandmother, said, it's just another opportunity to show how good God is. and to use our faith. So you know what? Sometimes you have an opportunity to fear. Now, the question is, well, are you going to take that opportunity or are you going to trust in God? And so every time I have the opportunity, I remember this scripture, do not be afraid, just have faith. Or Mark 11, 22 says, have faith in God. So I just have faith in God. I'm not going to be afraid. I'm going to have faith in God. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to trust that God will lead me. He'll guide me. He'll show me the way. And then I'm going to read it because I'm going to leave you off with Psalms 91, the whole chapter. It says, those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust him. For he will rescue you from every trap and protect you from deadly disease. He will cover you with his feathers. He will shelter you with his wings. His faithful promises are your armor and protection. Do not be afraid of the terrors of the night, nor the arrows that fly by day. Do not dread the disease that stalks in darkness, nor the disaster that strikes at midday. Though 1,000 fall at your side, though 10,000 are dying around you, these evils will not touch you. Just open your eyes and see how the wicked are punished. Now, interesting part about it is, think about this. 1,000 people die beside you and 10,000 around you, that would kind of, you would have an opportunity to freak yourself out, wouldn't it? I mean, that's a lot of people dying. But the Bible says, even if that happens, remember God's with you. He's helping you. He's for you. Trust in him. Goes on to say, if you make the Lord your refuge, if you make the Most High your shelter, no evil will conquer you. No plague will come near your home. And that's what whenever people talk about disease, talk about the flu, talk about whatever, the Bible says no plague shall come near my home. The flu is not welcome in my home. You know, cancer cannot live in my body. It says, for he will order his angels to protect you wherever you go. They will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. I mean, you know, if you will trample upon the lions and cobras, you will crush fierce lions and serpents under your feet. The Lord says, I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who trust in my name. When they call on me, I will answer. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue and honor them. I will reward them with a long life and give them my salvation. And that's, my mom taught me that scripture at a very young age. Our daily devotions, that each and every day that we would live, my mom would always pray the 91st Psalm upon us. You know, and so I learned the 91st Psalm at a young age. And I tell you, every time that I have an opportunity to be afraid, I remember what the 91st Psalm says. There are sometimes I actually take my Bible out and read the 91st Psalm because, you know, things seem really tough. But you know what? It's not what they seem. It's to know that we have a God that's for us, a God that's helping us. And so, you know, when we have an opportunity to be afraid, we have to remember the life words the Bible says. We have to remember what the Bible says about fear, what it says about worry and anxiety. And so we have to choose not to allow fear and anxiety to control our lives. We have to choose to guard our heart. We have to choose to focus on our mind on what is true in the midst of an uncertain time. We have to know what the Bible says. And we have to, when opportunities come to be afraid, scriptures need to come up on the inside. We need to know what the Word of God says. We need to know that the Lord is with us. He's helping us. He's leading us. He's guiding us. He's showing us the way. Focus in on him instead of on your fears and anxiety. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for each and every person that's here. And we thank you, Father, that each and every time that we have an opportunity to be afraid, we thank you, Father, that you'll bring these scriptures back to our remembrance. We thank you, Father, that we'll remember that you're with us, that you're guiding us, that you're leading us, that you're helping us every single time. And Father God, we just praise you and we give you all the praise, honor, and glory. But we thank you, Father, right now, if there's anyone here that's not saved, that does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that they will not leave this place without being saved. If you're here tonight and you've never been saved and you want to tonight, lift your hand. We want to pray with you. We want to make sure that you're each and every person here that's saved, that's on their way to heaven. Praise God. I don't see any hands. Father God, we thank you if anyone is here that's not a child of God. We thank you, Father, for sending laborers across our path on a daily basis. We thank you, Father, for ministering to them. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Well, praise God. Let's all stand up. Amen. Does anyone need healing? If you need healing in your body, come down here. We want to minister God's healing power to you. You know, we've had some great testimonies of how God's ministered, right here at this church. I mean, we've had awesome, awesome testimonies. So does anyone need healing? If you need healing, come down here. Just come on down. Amen. Don't be embarrassed. Nothing to be embarrassed about. Just come right over here where Brother Greg is. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want you to remember that Jesus is the healer. I'm not the healer. I'm just the one ministering to you. And so when I lay my hands upon your head, the power of God will go from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. And I tell you, you'll feel it. All right? So what I want to ask you to do is I want you to lift both hands toward heaven. I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to think about Jesus Christ and your healing. Father God, we just thank you right now for the healing power of God. We thank you, Father, lay hands upon the sick. We thank you, Father, that healing power shall flow to their body, from the top of their head to the soles of their feet. And we thank you, Father, for testimonies that we shall hear and that we shall see. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Oh, that's it right there. Be healed now from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. Receive your healing now. There it is. There it is. There it is. In the name of Jesus, receive. There it is. That's it right there. That's it right there. That's it. The healing power of God's working in your body. Hallelujah. In the name of, there it is right there. That's it. Hallelujah. Praise you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus, receive your healing now. That's it right there. That's it right there, John. That's it. The healing power of God's working in your body. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Praise God. We have a couple of prayer cloths here. Just reach your hands out toward these cloths. Gallbladder issue and also general healing. Father God, we just thank you right now. As we lay hands on these cloths, we thank you, Father, for the power of God flowing in these cloths. And we thank you as they're laid upon the sick. We thank you, Father, that these gallbladder problems be gone in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, for just healing this body from the top of their head to the soles of their feet. And we thank you, Father, in advance for testimonies that we shall hear and that we shall see. And we give you the praise, honor, and glory. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. God's a good God. Amen. 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 Well, you know, don't forget about all our upcoming activities. You know, some of you, like I said, you might not be a major baseball fan or whatever. I know my mom was talking about this morning that she's not a big baseball fan, but she said, you know, they have pretty good food at the ballparks there, you know. So come for the food, come for the fellowship, come for the people there. There's also there's fireworks that night, so maybe you can come for the fireworks. They have a pretty good fireworks show. You know, so it's not about the baseball game, because some of you might really like baseball. Some of you might not. So, you know, whether you like it or not, you know, I found out myself, you know, any kind of sporting event, whether I was a fan or not, it's just fun to be at a sporting event. You know, just to watch, you know, eat some popcorn, some peanuts, and Cracker Jacks, and or maybe you can, some of you say, well, I'm more of a singer than a baseball player, or then you can sing, you know, seventh inning stretch, you can sing Take Me Out to the Ball Game or whatever. So anyway, it's a fun time. And then I know everybody's into food. I mean, you know, everyone likes to eat. So, you know, so that's always a good time. Amen. Amen. Well, you know, the way we dismiss around here, I'll be back to shake your hand at that door. If you don't want to shake my hand, there's that door out there. Amen. So whichever door you want to go out, oh yeah, if you're a first time visitor, we're glad to have you. We have some people who are going to take you, and we have a gift for you. We want you to come back. You know, we're here every Sunday night at 6 p.m. Amen. Praise God. God bless you guys.